monthly podcast where we get to know various members of our communities, emerging leaders, innovative thinkers, and exciting people that support Paymatic's mission and have an impact on our lives. I'm your host, Evan Evans. Today we'll be interviewing Karen Gaines, a leader in Aimatic and the OCC. Karen Gaines has been a major contributor to our impact document. She is currently our OCC. It's on my.aimatic.org website. What are some of the things about the website that you guys are focusing on right now as the OCC?
Well, I first want to start out talking about how I got involved with it. With the work on the impact document, one of the things that was the most important to me to make it different from our previous standards documents was the opportunity to keep it a living document so that it didn't take 10 more years before we update it. We wanted to keep it current. And the way we found best to do that was by use of technology, in particular, having a website. And so that's why my.aimatic.org was created. And when they needed a coordinator, I felt like putting my money where my mouth was and stepping up and being the original coordinator of it to get it going. We have been focusing on the Impact Live part of the site. It is an opportunity for people to get a deeper dive into the document each month. We try to focus on the pillars. And it's also a wonderful opportunity for all the committees in Aimatic to be highlighted so that people are aware of all the wonderful work that's going on with Aimatic.
What is one common myth about this website that you want to debunk for all of us?
Oh, wow. I don't know if it's necessarily a myth, but I think people just don't have the big picture yet of its purpose. It's intended to be a place to collaborate with others. And that only works if we get people onto the site. I think once people get onto the site, they see all the wonderful things we have going. Like I said, with Impact Live, all of our committees and ANETs have their own individual community that people can work on. And we are building a pretty impressive library of different things, from videos to activities people can do in the classroom. We've introduced a new community that's book recommendations and tech recommendations. It's going to be changing at all times. So it's not something, oh, I just need to check this once a year. We're hoping it's something people check at least weekly, if not maybe daily, seeing what's going on.
And you mentioned you're also working on a grant that's related to our impact document. Can you elaborate a little bit about that?
Yes, we are so excited about the Teaching for Prowess grant. It's a 5-year grant that's through the National Science Foundation. We just finished our first year. And the big picture of what the grant is about is it is based on the impact document. And we are trying to foster active learning in the classroom and also departmental change. Now, those sound like two kind of unrelated items, but it's amazing how much they go hand in hand. And our ultimate goal is to create materials through our traveling workshops and through a lot of content on MyAimatic also that will help people with both of those areas. How can you get active learning into your classroom and why should you? And then also with the departmental change. So many of us get stuck in a rut or, you know, just kind of letting the status quo lead us through our careers. And I think sometimes you just need to have a good shakeup. And I think COVID did that for us. It was not a good thing, but there are good things coming out of it. And one of them is with our departmental change. You realize how much you have been kind of stuck doing the same thing over and over, and maybe there's a better way to do things, and try to get whole departments together to do what it takes to make the experience for their students better and go for that student success, our fourth pillar.
So Karen, we know you're working with the NSF Teaching for Prowess grant that evolved from the impact document. Why did the group and team that you're working with choose the focus they did?
Well, you know, most of us took math classes that were lecture-based, so that's what we're all familiar with. But over the last decade or so, there's been a lot of strides in brain research, and especially for education, there's been strides in learning research. And I think the undeniable benefits of active learning have come out of that research. But something like this is a tough sell when people like us say, hey, you know, I learned that way and I turned out okay. Why would we need to do something new? And this is an attitude or culture we're trying to address with our Teaching for Prowess grant. We are examining how to transform departmental culture and institutional culture to embrace this new information that we have. And this will allow our students to learn in a more equitable manner. Active learning is the pedagogy that we are focused on. And we're also focused on the STEM pathway. There's a lot of work being done in the statistics and quantitative reasoning, but we're focused on the STEM and its prerequisites.
How can people get involved with this grant?
Well, at this time, I'm happy to invite any mathematics departments at two-year colleges to apply for what are called our phase two colleges. The applications are due April 15th of course, 2022, and the work that they would be doing would run from July of 2022 through June of 2025, so a three-year time span. There's a lot of details we can't possibly cover in this podcast, so what I would encourage people to do is to go to our website. It's teachingforprowess.wordpress.com. This grant is a great chance for your department to be a change agent and to make a difference in the learning process for your students.
And speaking about getting departments together and doing this change, what are some of the best resources that have helped you along the way?
We have a wonderful research team led by Ann Sittmer, and she is very in the know with other projects that are going on around the nation. And one of them we're working with very closely is called PULSE. Basically is biology in four-year colleges. They had an NSF grant and they worked on departmental change. And so we are doing a lot of modeling after them.
So what's your vision for this grant in terms of after its completion? What do you hope to accomplish?
The long-term effect is going to be the opportunities people will have through AMATIC, like I said, through the traveling workshops, through the website, conference presentations. We're hoping to have something called an ambassador program in which we will come and do site visits with departments, training them on how to affect change in their department and hopefully their institution too. So this will be a formal process, but that's, you know, it's probably 4 years away, but I'm very excited about all these prospects. I know that this grant is going to make a difference in AMATIC.
What's something about you that most people familiar with you wouldn't know?
I guess the first thing that springs to mind is golf. I don't play much anymore because I never seem to have the time, but I was a junior club champion. I have a hole in one. I've gotten a hole in one. And I used to be a pretty good golfer. And I enjoy it. It just takes so long. And that's something I hope to get back to now that I'm, quote, retired.
That's great news. And you've done so much over your career, but who has been your biggest supporter or mentor or role model over the course of your career?
This is the easiest question you've asked me. when I first started, John Pasdar proposed a grant in which we could go to Kennedy Space Center and work on creating activities with engineers there that had to do with the space shuttle. That tells you how long ago it was. It was the late 90s. And I applied. I was new teaching. I thought, oh, that sounds fun. I actually used to work at McDonnell Douglas. So that was more airplane as opposed to space travel, but it's always been of interest to me. I've been involved with AMATIC for 26 years, and there's not a single thing that I have done that is not somehow tied to John. We worked on a lot of grants together, and then the people I have met through those grants have been my connections to the other entities. One of my first partner was Kathy Mowers, who was one of our AMATIC presidents, and she's who asked me to get involved with the standards task force and steering committee at the very beginning. So it's just connections like that. Once you get involved, you meet so many wonderful people. And John was my start. He's a very special person, and AMATIC's better for him, and so am I.
Where can our listeners connect with you, either online or offline in the future?
There's two easy ways. Just go to occ@amatic.org. That's my official email for being the online community coordinator. But everybody can go on to my.amatic.org and go to the directory and do an advanced search. And you will find anybody that is a member of AMATIC and get their contact information.
So that wraps up this month's interview. Please join us in upcoming months where we continue to interview innovative leaders. Until then, continue to make an impact. And